God says, this is the day I have made, and my response is, I will rejoice in it. That's what we should all think. Let's just open with prayer, and we'll get into the Word of God. Thank you all for being here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God once again, Father. Thank you that we have the ability physically and mentally to do that, Father. We don't take that lightly. We thank you for the words that are going to come forth from this pulpit, everything that will be done to glory and edify the name of Jesus. We pray now that the words you have given this vessel come forth according to your will, your words, your thoughts, everything be of you, nothing of myself, Lord. I empty myself to you. I surrender as servant, as slave, Lord. Let the word go forth into the hearts of the hearers and let it grow and prosper. And let them be the doers of the word as you command. Father, we give you praise, enemy of ours. You're not welcome here. Holy Spirit, come and indwell and inhabit this place from top to bottom, Lord. Let your will be done. Let everybody that comes from through those doors hear and see the love of Jesus Christ, the news, the good news that we are here to teach and preach and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I want to talk to you today about the God of all comfort. That is one of the titles that he is referred to by Paul. And Paul, I think, had a reason to say that. I think he knew that our God is a God of comfort. I want you to turn to, this is not in my notes, but I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11. And I want to just read how Paul knows that he's the God of comfort. Second Corinthians 11, verse 22. I'm reading the New King James Version. So I want to talk to you about today how to endure. How to endure. How to endure hardship, tribulations, trials, temptation. How do we endure it as a child of God? And I'm going to teach you what God has shown me. But I want to set the stage because the writing that I'm teaching from is Paul. Paul's life. Jesus is another. He is the example, the author and finisher of our faith. But Paul had a knowledge as well. And so let's read about Paul's qualifications for teaching us how to endure. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often, in deaths often. From the Jews, this is his brethren, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. So 5 times by the Jews, Paul was given 39 stripes. 5 times. How many times have we endured that? 3 times, verse 25, I was beaten with a rod. Now, I got a few spankings back in the day with a branch. Not a limb, a branch. I got a branch a couple times because I showed up on one of them little bitty switches, you know. Oh, Lord. They just mad. They go and get the whole branch then and bring it back, and then you're in trouble. Don't bring them little tiny ones first time. But Paul, I'm not trying to, but I'm just trying to relate to Paul here. Still not even close, okay? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. How many times you've been around people and you feel like you've been stoned? Paul had to literally endure stoning, physical stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. Y'all ever been on the sea when it's angry? That's not a pretty thing. That's a scary sight. 3 times he's shipwrecked. We have scripture of 1. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Now that's in the ocean, adrift, alone. without food, without water, and with everything else that is in the ocean. A night and a day. In journeys often, I have been in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now, he's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the church. Paul knew something about enduring, didn't he? None of us can testify to that, can we? Nope. I guarantee you none of us can. Not all of it. And let me tell you, this was written almost 7 to 10 years before he died. So his journey wasn't over yet. This is just what he had experienced in the first half of it. He still had at least 7 to 10 years, according to tradition and research, before he died at the hands of the Romans. This is what he had endured already. So when I say Paul has something to share about how to endure, I think I speak on a sure foundation. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 1. I wanted you to see his qualifications, we'll call it. And I want you to see why he calls our God a God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, I'll be reading 1 through 11. And then we're going to pull from that what Holy Spirit has shown. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the Christians which are at Arcadia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Is he qualified to say he's a God of all comfort? How can we stand and say he's not when we know what Paul went through? How can the trivial things in my life cause such pain for me when I haven't yet even suffered to blood yet? Go on, verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? There's your purpose in your pain. It not only strengthens you, but gives you the ability to help strengthen the brother and sister. Always a purpose in the pain. That's the way we say it. For as the suffering of Christ abode in us, so our consolation also abodeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering. It means it's effective in enduring the same suffering. When you see me go through and walk through valleys and come out by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, I can give you hope. How many of you all been set free from some type of sin or addiction? Most of us have. So when they come through the door and they know that our lives have been such a wretched thing, I may not look what I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We had a conversation in the hallway yesterday before we went out, and Pastor gave me a hard time. He's like, I don't want to diminish what I think about you. You're such a pure person to me. And I was like, I wasn't always holy. You may think. I said, but I thank God I'm no longer that. We all have testimonies. We've all endured hardship and things. The enemy has tried to kill us because you have something that God knows is going to be able to help somebody else and bring glory to his name. Suffering has a purpose. If our mindsets would wrap around that as we're going through these things, I think we would walk differently. You would be able to walk victorious, even in your attitude. That's what we're here today about. So let's go on. It says, and whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Notice consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering. Did anybody tell you this was going to be a cakewalk? That verse right there tells you different. That's one of many. So also shall you also be also of the consolation. So you have that same hope. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Anybody been there? Pressed? I've been pressed out of measure. I've been pressed above my strength. But I have not despaired for my life, save when the enemy came and asked me to take my life. That was his idea, not mine. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Now, that sentence of death is the flesh, putting away your own mindset, your own thought patterns, what you think should be done. Put it away, because it says you put to death that you shouldn't trust in yourself, but in God, which raised the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I want to give you, when you see the word tribulation in this, you're talking about, it's a broad term that encompasses suffering. It encompasses hardship. It encompasses persecution. When you see tribulation, it can be any of those things. It is not always, is not temptation. Suffering or tribulation can lead to temptation. But temptation is a different thing altogether. So we're talking about enduring tribulation. Good examples of tribulation would be Ruth, Paul, of course, Job, Esther. Temptations, first thing we looked at, David. He was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Judas was tempted. Not all outcomes were the same, were they? In those. How then can we endure these tribulations, these hardships? Let me examine what we've just read. The first thing I notice is Paul takes comfort in God. Do you notice how he addressed God in the text? He said, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Paul knew something about both of those, didn't he? Paul didn't have that pristine, clean background, did he? He had all the world could offer you. He had the greatest education. He was not only Jewish, but he was a Roman citizen, which put him up even higher in their standards and their livelihoods. He had more respect. He was not to be treated a certain way, not just a common Jew. He was educated by Gamaliel, and at that time, he was the most educated man in the synagogues, and he sat under his teaching, so he had all this knowledge. He brags about being a Pharisee. He's fair, you see. Yet he said, he's the father of mercy. You know why? Because he met a man named Jesus on the road to Damascus. Because Paul had consented to the death and imprisonment of Christians. He knew something about mercy from God. He knew he didn't deserve what God had let him have. But God is a God of mercy. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. As Pastor said, some people come in counseling and he says, they go on and talk about all these terrible sin. And he says, I sit back and think, well, that was just Tuesday for me. Some of us are the same way. That was just Tuesday. Ain't even got to the weekend yet. It's when the real fun started, right? But God is the Father of mercy and comfort. Comfort is support and encouragement during times of hardship or distress. That is a call that we have as a child of God for one another. We are to comfort each other. Comfort them and show them that, yes, they can overcome this. We are to pray for them and encourage them. The first thing I noticed about the enemy is when you're going through hardship, he wants to isolate you. And usually he wants to isolate you from God. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands. How many times you heard your teenagers tell you that? You just don't understand. I used to tell mine, baby, I've rolled around this sun a few more times than you have. Trust me, I've seen it all. Participated in a lot of it. I didn't always tell him that, but I'll tell you all that. But one time he said, I told him about something I saw, and he's like, no, that's not right. A few years later, 5 or 6 years later, he come back to me and he said, how did you know? I said, Mama has rode around the sun a few more times, and I can see it. When I see it, I know it. I can see it. He's like, you were so right, Mom. I should have wrote that down because I probably never heard that again in my whole life with him. Bless his heart. You know, they know everything. But anyways, but he wants to isolate you. He keeps you from people, and he keeps you from God. So often when we're experiencing any hardship, we tend to focus on the current issue at hand. We even withdraw from God and godly people. Well, I'm just going to take a break. No, baby. This is where the enemy devours you. You cannot cut the ties to the only thing that can save you. You cannot get out of his presence. He is your strength. He is your strong tower. He is your shelter. You've got to stay connected, and this is exactly where he wants you. You become vulnerable. Have you ever watched the nature channels? And when an animal is looking for prey, he stalks it. One method, he stalks it. He stalks it until it gets alone, away from the herd. And even when they approach a herd, they will usually run until one is singled out. And then they'll leave the herd and go after the one. And a lot of times, it's the weak ones. Usually looking for the ones that they can get along, and the weak ones, the ones. So when you get away from God, what happens? You're cutting the cords and the ties and the strength and his power and his light. You're becoming vulnerable. Do not fall into the trap to get away from the God. There's a reason why he called him the Father of Mercy. He doesn't care what happened. He already knew what happened. You can't hide it from him. It's no surprise to him. The Bible says you go boldly before the throne room of grace because you are a child of God and say, hey, look, I messed up. I need your forgiveness. I need you to help me get back on my feet. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a daddy that's standing up there going, okay, we got it. Come on. Let me wipe those tears away. Let's get back. We've got work to do. You got people to save. Every one of you have people to save. Not in salvation, but to help them get to Jesus. Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says, and I may not read it all, but yeah, I'm going to. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with the surging. Can you stand and not have fear? How many times has the enemy swirled the storm around you? And all you can look at is that what's in front of you. Can't see past it. Can't see that help is right here, right here, right in your Bible. We must run to him for refuge and shelter when the situations come up, because more than we can bear in ourselves, in his presence, we get the strength that we need to continue on, to take the next step, to go get up and do it again the next day. When your mind wanders to trouble, when your heart seems to fail, when you're anxious and anxiety comes in like a flood, we redirect our thoughts. We take it captive, is what the Bible says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Did you notice your name is not in there? It's not through Sonia. It's not through Stephen. It's not through Miriam. It's through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when you get in trouble, where should you run? You should go to the one who can help you, and that is God. Yes, I will give you an encouraging word. Yes, I will pray for you. But I cannot be there in the middle of the night. I cannot be there at that time when the enemy comes in like a flood. Whenever that may be. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations, which is our reasoning, our outcomes, our thoughts, our plans, and every high thing, every high elevation, every barrier, I'm adding those words, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And put our minds on him. This is how we do it. And we do this by time in prayer, worship and praise, and in the scriptures, spending time with him. That is where you're going to get the strength to endure. Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many times have you had a difficult situation in your life and God said, oh, you get out of free jail card? Not often. Nope. Because we already discussed that. That strengthens you, brings glory to him, helps you with others, helps others see Christ in you. So let me tell you, you're going to endure. You're going to have to endure. He wants you to live to endure. Second thing I understood, it says don't rely upon yourself. Did Paul ever rely upon himself? I guarantee he did. Despite what you see in the natural sense, what you may know is the natural way of doing things, don't rely upon it. God, our God, works in mysterious ways, and his is always better. How many of y'all experienced that? Always better. What I thought was good wasn't good. I've learned to step back and say, okay, God, your will be done. Did I like it always? No. Did I like the outcome? Yes. His way was always better. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, very familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Isn't that wonderful? I like that idea. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water. Do you understand? That's an ever-giving source spiritually. Never runs dry. That sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. Y'all like the heat. But its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Do you know you're supposed to bear fruit through all this? You are. put a smile on your face, put a song in your heart, and a praise on your lips, baby, and keep it moving. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, you remember Paul was talking about his weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Don't worry about it when you see that you are weak. When you see that, God, you've asked me to do something and I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I took a job and I had no qualifications. I didn't lie about it. I cried for 3 days. Actually, 5. There was a weekend. I did. I cried for 5 days. Well, 4. I did better on Sunday because I was probably here with y'all. But I come home on that Friday. I cried all the way home. Called my husband. I get home and my cat's dead. Let's add insert to injury. And now I got another reason to cry. And I walked in. I was like, oh, God. Oh, Lord. And I just went up the stairs and went to the bed and cried some more. When you are weak, I am strong. Did I struggle? Yes. 3 days I cried. And then I found the cat and I cried a few more. How can you endure? By the grace of God. I had to make a choice. This is not going to be the end. You brought me to it. Obviously, you want me to deal with it and do whatever you've called me to do. And he will do the same for you. What I did, I found my confidence in him. Confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something you have a firm trust in. His promise in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand was the strong hand. A study of God's word shows us time and time again how he is for us despite our own weaknesses. He always has the best outcome from us. We can sit back and take account of our lives and see that he is faithful. I did a lot of that in that bed on Friday. I was like, okay, God. I felt like David. I was going in, so I'm trying to encourage myself in the Lord. Because nothing else was beautiful around me. So I went in there and I was like, okay, God. I had a pity party for about, he let me have one for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And then he started talking to me. He's like, is this it? This is it, huh? This is where you are? I gave you a promise. I made it happen. And a couple of inconveniences, like you don't know how to do your job and the cat is now dead. And you're just going to throw your hands up and give up and lay in the bed all weekend and cry. I spent time counting his faithfulness. I can see it in the scriptures. I can see it in my own life. I can see it in my husband's life and the life of my family. He is faithful. And of course, the next thing I did was pray. Prayer is essential. It keeps me connected to him. Who is my strength? Is Benny going to be able to help me? No, that man was working, which is where he should have been. But if I needed him, he could have come. But he couldn't heal this. He could comfort me all he wanted to. He could pray for me, and that's what he's supposed to do. But it's my choice to endure and be victorious. You have a choice. Are you going to be victorious? Are you going to lay in the bed and cry for a few more days? With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and every season. Pray always in the spirit, and with this is in view, stay alert and with all perseverance and petition, which is interceding in prayer for all God's people. That's Ephesians 6:18 amplified. In every season, every occasion, good or bad, he wants to be part of it. James 5 and 16 says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That's the Amplified Version. Read that. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much is one of the translations. Get on your knees and pray. Pray for me. Pray for you. Pray for everything. Pray about everything. But stay connected. This is how you're going to endure. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. First thing you see is you've got to resist anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Did you see that? By prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. Do you think I was very thankful Friday when I walked in? No. That was the last thing on my mind. But when I got upstairs to that bed where I was laying in there crying, I had to learn to thank God for what He had given me, despite these circumstances around me. And when I did that, you know what? The tears dried up. And I felt this strength within me. And I could get up and go about my life. And not just go about it, but go about it with thanksgiving and praise in my spirit. This is how we endure. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. This is a promise, and your mind through Christ Jesus. Have you tried the peace of the world? I have. It don't work. It's temporal. I love going to the beach. I love being on the beach. That's like peaceful to me. But I still have to come home. I still have to get in the car and drive back to wherever I come from. It's temporal. It doesn't last. But you've got to learn to endure, because we're all going to endure things. And through Christ Jesus, if you remember this, remember to not rely upon yourself. Remember to take comfort in Him. Remember to be confident in Him and to pray. Did you notice Paul said, because of your prayers, because of your prayers, He gave them the right to know that their prayers made a difference. And they do. They make a difference. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can endure. He is the God of all comfort. Use those steps. I guarantee you, they'll work. Because I stand before you today, many times over, and I've had to apply these, as most of you all have as well. And He's never failed me, not once. Not once. Father, we thank You for the words. We thank You for the comfort and encouragement, for the understanding of how that we can endure all hardships, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You care so much about us, that You give us Your word, which is just an instructions and a roadmap, and how that we can be successful through Christ Jesus. Thank You that the Holy Spirit resides within us, and that we have, in the darkest hours, we have everything we need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. We thank You, Lord. May these words bless the hearers and the doers. In Jesus' name, amen.